I was checking out the news this morning, and interestingly enough, I came across this headline. It went like this: stuck at home, moms can't afford to work. And as I saw that, I got thinking about this. What kind of message does that tell or preach? Stuck at home, moms can't afford to work. And the article, of course, was about how low-income mothers can't afford, it doesn't make financial sense to pay for childcare and work because the wages aren't enough to make up the difference, and so they stay home. Okay, well, that's fine and dandy. But the message that's being portrayed by that term, stuck in home, is really indicative of our culture today and the shift that is taking place in women in general and in our families. Home is like a prison. Home is a place that is not to be desired. There was a teacher in a classroom, and the teacher had some young ladies there and asked the first student, young lady, "What would you like to be when you grow up?" "I'd like to be a doctor," she said. "Oh, that's wonderful. You'll really be able to help lots of people." She turned to the second young lady, "And what would you like to be when you grow up?" "I'd like to be a soldier." "Oh, that's commendable." Teacher turned to the third young lady and said, "What would you like to be when you grow up?" "I'd like to be a wife and a mother." And silence. What do you say? That's what our culture is teaching us these days. What do you say? Is the calling of being a wife and a mother truly admirable and desirable and something of great value? Absolutely. And we as a church need to be the flag bearers of that kind of message. You know, as we talk about being mothers today, you know, an exhortation that we need to have is, what kind of message are you preaching about motherhood? About your attitude? About your calling and desire to minister in the home to the children that God has given to you? You know, a great mother is determined not by the children she raises, not by the blogs she writes, not by the reputation she acquires, but by the quality of her walk with God. God has given her the privilege of being a mother, and He's given her everything she needs to accomplish her calling. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 31 this morning. So turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 31. And I don't think I need to review too much of what this passage is about, but I will just give a brief synopsis. This passage from verses 10 down through verse 31 speaks of a virtuous woman. Now, this woman is married. She has a husband. This woman has children, so she is a mother. And in this passage, we see defined for us a biblical perspective of a virtuous, godly woman. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And I want you to notice the descriptions that are given here. They are not based on her beauty, her charm, her quality of life, her money, or anything like that. It's her virtue. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And it continues down and just chronicles her life and her industry and her work and her ministry, not only in her home, but also in the community. But today I want to just look at one verse in this passage, and And that is down in verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, where it says this: favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now what this verse means, favor, some translate it as charm. I like to think of it as this way: seeking to be pleasing to others in what we say and what we do. That is unfounded. Promises, but it doesn't deliver. Favor is deceitful. And beauty. Well, what is beauty? Seeking honor based on what's on the outside. That's the insinuation here. Beauty is vain, because we know very well, don't we, how fleeting beauty is. The skin doesn't remain young. The hair doesn't remain the right color. And notice I say the right color. Listen to me. We think it should be a color that it's not. How about that? And, you know, we get all of this in our mind, but really we understand the fact that beauty is fleeting. It's vain. It's like a vapor. It's like a breath. It's there and then it's gone. And the message here in this passage is emphasizing not what's on the outside and not about your charisma. It's about your walk with God. Because favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. What is it that makes a good mom? What is it that makes a good and godly woman? It's a woman that fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, if we want to just bare bone it down to the very nitty gritty, to fear the Lord is to have a reverential respect for God. So much so that it dictates every action and word of life. We wake up and we act and say and we do certain things based upon our respect of God, not based upon how we feel or what side of the bed we woke up on. We do it because of our God and how great our God is. Our culture is the way it is because it does not know God. And let me remind you, we cannot expect anything different of our culture. As God is pulled out, this thinking of our culture will continue to fester and grow. But listen, as a church and as followers of Jesus Christ as Christians, it doesn't have to be that way for us. It should not be that way for us. As I was considering this message today, and you have to understand, as a preacher, and Mother's Day is coming, all kinds of things are flooding through your mind. And what direction do you head? What do you preach? And there's, you know, there's all kinds of different things to do and say. And the temptation is this, and I will be honest with you, the temptation is to come up with something really flowery and something that will be really pleasing to the ears of our ladies. And I don't have that today. What I thought would be appropriate is to just give a tribute to our mothers, to my mom, by saying thank you. And I'm going to say thank you in four different specific ways, four different specific areas. Mom, I want to thank you for standing for God's truth. A God-fearing woman will stand for God's truth. She will not compromise for the sake of acceptance. When you are in a home where mom stands for what is right, then there is no confusion as to what is right and what is wrong. Her standard is God's truth, not the local talk show or media. Her children and her husband are very well aware of her stance, of her character. It breeds great confidence in her decisions and in her actions. We can trust that she will do what is right. So, Mom, I thank you. I thank you for standing for God's truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I believe we have a young man whose life was forever affected by a mom who stood for the truth. Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes, "When I called remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You know, not much is told about Timothy and his upbringing. We know that he didn't have a believing father, Christian father, in the home. But we see a faithful mother and a grandmother. And we can understand and grasp the fact that Timothy understood some basic truths about life, and one thing was that he saw faith in his mom. A God-fearing mom, a God-fearing woman, will stand for God's truth and will not compromise for the sake of acceptance. Thank you for standing for God's truth. Mom, I want to thank you for submitting to God's way. I want to thank you, Mom, for doing life, living life in submission to God's design and principles. I count myself very blessed to have grown up in the home that I grew up in. In my home, I was able to see my mom very clearly understood the role that God had given to her as a wife and a mother. We as children understood that Dad, he was the head of the home. But we understood and we saw Mom very much respected and very much loved. But we saw her respect our father. You know, that's God's design for the family. And I'm so grateful, Mom, that you submitted to doing it God's way. You know, there's a lot more to life than just in the home. There's life in general, and there's so many different instructions that God gives to us. And He shows us how to live life. God does that for you. And it's in His Word. Are we submitting to God's plan as the best plan for our lives? You know, I read an illustration, I believe it was just yesterday or today. There were two ladies, they were friends, they met together for lunch, and it was at the one lady's home, and they met there because the lady had children. And the children were playing around in the room, and the guest commented and said, "Boy, I would give my life for that." Speaking of the children and their playing and that kind of thing. And the mom turned to her and said, "That's exactly what it costs, your life." You see, I'm not a mom, but I had the benefit of growing up and knowing a mom. And I have the benefit of living with and supporting and loving a mom. And I have seen and understood the fact that it's a lifetime commitment. No matter if your children are young or if your children are old, you're still a mom, aren't you? You're still a mom. And all along the way, do it God's way. Submit to God's design and God's plan. For it is a lifetime commitment. Mom, thanks for submitting to God's way. As I thought about mom and moms in general, and even in the scriptures, I want to say thank you, Mom, for singing God's praises. Thank you for being one who helped us to see that God was great. One of the most profound examples of that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. As you look in Luke chapter 1, that incredible experience that Mary had as the angel came, and she being a virgin, she's not married, she's betrothed, but not married, and the angel comes and shares with her that you're going to have a child, and it's not just going to be any child, it's going to be the Savior of the world. Talk about submitting to God's way. I mean, this young lady had her whole future ahead of her. She was doing things right according to her culture and according to her God. She was a God-fearing woman. And now, all of a sudden, this all's changed. But we know that God provides for her the assurance and the comfort of knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one who will come upon her. The power of the highest will overshadow her. And therefore, verse 35 of Luke chapter 1, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Talk about submitting to God's way. There you see, may it be according to your word. But then Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, and as she visits Elizabeth, she breaks forth in song. In verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She breaks forth in song. You know, there is no doubt that God was great in her sight, that she served a great God. Proverbs 31 speaks that a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. I believe the family, the children, they need to hear and see you, Mom, singing God's praises. What a character quality of a woman. When your children would say, my mom, she praises the Lord all the time. She speaks of God as great and wonderful. She sings God's praises. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom, for singing God's praises. Mom, I want to thank you for being a woman who seeks God's face. Mom, I know you pray for me. I know you pray for my brothers and sisters. I want to say thank you. In church, a God-fearing woman will be a woman of prayer. A mom who fears the Lord is not going to live life apart from fellowship with God. No, she will be in communication with her God. That fear of God is going to be expressed personally from her heart as she expresses it to her Lord. Do you pray? Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your children? A God-fearing woman will pray and will pray for her children. And you've heard stories much like I of women, mothers who have prayed for their children for all their lives. And whether they even see the results of their prayers or not, you know what? Their children see it. Whether their children accept it or not, Mom, keep praying. Because you know what? Our children are a gift from the Lord, placed within our hands for us to be stewards over. But you know, they are really God's. And Mom, how best can you care for God's gift of children? And you know what? God gives children to you, moms. You bear them. And we as men, we have a part in all of that, yes. And we have the privilege of raising them as fathers. But mothers, you bear these children. And I understand and I know a little bit of the heart of a mother is that they long to see their children walking in the truth. Pray for them. There is great power in praying. Mom, thank you for understanding that God is the one who can change things and change people. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, it's not recorded for us that she spent time in praying, but we do know that there was times when she tried to help her son along, help change things. It didn't work. You know, Jesus, of course, he being God, he didn't need her instructions, but I think we can take this to heart. God wants us to be praying for our children, for our loved ones. Mom, thanks. Thank you for submitting. For submitting to God's way. Thank you for singing God's praises. Thank you for seeking God's face. I want to close with this thought from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Because you know what, ladies? I know that I have watched mothers struggle. I have watched mothers weep. I've watched mothers that are tired. And I want to encourage you today that yes, you're to be a God-fearing woman. But you're not alone in this effort. In Philippians chapter 2, I want you to see this truth, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Ladies, don't try and manifest these things on your own and I'm going to be a God-fearing woman today. Don't forget the fact that it is God that is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Whose? His. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. God wants to work in your life. He wants to use you. God has given you the children that are in your life, and He wants to minister to them, and He wants to do it through you. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Lord, encourage these dear ladies here today. I know that there are some in all different stages of life in parenting and mothering. I know that there are some in very difficult family situations. I know there are some that have been praying for their children. I know there are some, Lord, that lack the support of a loving spouse. God, Your word is infinite and wise, and you know what? It's beautiful. Because, Lord, this message of a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised, applies to all. And God, give these dear ladies a vision for their lives of being a God-fearing woman. In Jesus' name, amen.